Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Your passion for people is really inspiring, and it is so great. And I'm going to give permission right now, if you want to skip this preach, go get some presents, come back to the 10 a.m. You can hear it then, all right? So go and get some presents. Do whatever you need to do. We want to bless this community. It is great, isn't it? December Christmas series has begun. All right, there we go, Kez. You beauty. All right, so how awkward is that? How good. I love it. I love this time of the year. I was just chatting earlier on today with some people just before the service about how some years I get really Christmassy. You know, you get it in your, it's just there. And then some years you get to Christmas Day and you don't care. Anyone ever been there? Like, you're like, oh, it's Christmas, whatever, give me some ham. Like, it's very... Zane at the back, she's like, that's me, all right? That's great. But I must admit, this year, I'm just kind of really into it. Like, I have a joy about it already. You know, 2 nights ago, put on the first Narnia, because Santa's in the first Narnia. Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, anyone? Yeah. I still don't get why Santa's in it, to be honest. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but I do love it. And then, you know, already just sort of like, yeah, Christmas, just come on, bring it on. I will tell you now, I had a series planned for Christmas, and I said those to everyone else that was preaching in this series what it was, and I just changed it this week. No one else knows. Just because you don't know, Josiah, you're just like, you were planning, we're not doing that anymore. Mainly because this week I just opened the Bible again and read the Christmas story. You know, I think sometimes we forget to actually read the story, and I always encourage parents on Christmas Day or sometime in the Christmas season to sit down, read the story to your kids, because we just get little snippets of it each year and little ideas and thoughts and the nativity scene and whatever, and we go Christmas light looking. But I found myself just reading the story and just being in awe again, like childlike awe towards the Christmas story. And there was a theme that sort of came through for me this week, just the joy of Christmas, like the joy that is through this story. And, you know, have you ever been around people that are just really joyful? Have you ever got a friend that's just really joyful? If you don't, find someone, okay? Because it rubs off, right? When I was in my 20s, I had a mate that lived up the road, and he's just one of those guys. His name is Jono. And he always just was joyful about the simplest things, the littlest things. He's kind of one of those cool guys too. He had his own dress sense. He kind of dressed like Austin Powers. Like, so, you know, like he just, John Don, his name is. And, he lives in the UK now. He fits the UK beautifully. And, I love this guy because we used to always hang out. Anytime anything good would happen, this could be any time in the year, like it could be in the middle of March, and something good would happen, like we were eating some good food, or there's, you know, just a movie was great, he'd just burst out with this statement, "It's Christmas, everyone!" Like, I don't know why, but anytime it's good, "It's Christmas!" And we go, "Shut up, John," right? But every time something good happened, it's Christmas. And it just obviously, it was like it's connected to this feeling great. Like, oh my gosh, how good is this? It's like it's Christmas. And I just love it because his response was, I was like, yeah, it's Christmas, everyone. And that's what I want you to do through December, okay? Anytime something good happens, it's Christmas, okay? People will freak out a little bit, but that's okay. But I do want to talk about joy today because joy is such a beautiful thing. Like, I love through this season that there's little pops of joy that come up. And I want our eyes to be open to the joyful moments in this Christmas season, because you can get so caught up in all the mundane of trying to get stuff done. And I know mums out there, I mean, you really do everything, okay? Dads are like, what did you give for Christmas? You know, like, you know, for me, I'm just like, Beck, what did we get everyone? Like, I don't even have kids, but you know, like, so it can get really down, but I just want us to see the joy in Christmas. Like, I love these little moments that, you know, you just see smiles on kids' faces over the simplest stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, they just get so excited. Yesterday, my sister sent me a text message of her kids on school holidays having their very first Macca's chocolate ice cream. Now, Toowoomba's just got it. I'm not joking. They're so far. If you haven't, who's had a chocolate ice cream from Macca's? Put up your hand if you have. Put up your hand if you haven't. Catch up. It's joyful, okay? It's one of the greatest things ever, you know, out there. And so she's sending me, I've been telling my sister about this for months. I'm like, Macca's needs to catch up at Toowoomba. And she sends me this photo and her kids have got chocolate all over their face and they're just like pinging on chocolate. And she's like, we've tried it. It's good. My kid had to take his shirt off to get back in the car. And I'm like, this is great, but I love it. I love joyful moments. I love hearing about joyful moments at youth on Friday night. An indoor slip and slide happened here. Was it a dumb idea? Yes. Was it fun? Amazing. Was I proud? Yes. Did it take hours to dry the carpet? Yes. But it's joyful, right? So, you know, why not? Joyful moments, I love these little pops of joy. Like, I remember years ago, it was Christmas Day, and my niece, she would have been about 4 years old, and her dad's a surfer, and he bought her a boogie board. And I only thought about this year because we've just bought her a boogie board again for her current size. She wanted a new boogie board. But when she got her boogie board, it was all wrapped. This kid stood this tall, the boogie board's bigger than her, and she's unwrapping it, and she screams out, declares to the whole family, "It's what I've always wanted!" And her parents are like, she's never been to the ocean. She has no idea what it is. But she was so, I'm like, this is joy. Like, she's like, she doesn't know what that is, but she, that's what I've always wanted. These little joyful moments, you know, these joyful moments. Like, I think about Christmas, like when you go see the Christmas lights or when you bust out the Lindt hot chocolates. Anyone do that? Whole block of chocolate for one cup. I mean, this is great. Melt it down, put it in milk, make yourself happy. Okay. Christmas is a time of joy. Someone's just like, really? Okay. Belting out the Christmas tunes. It was good to hear Joy to the World today. And Christmas really is. I mean, the word joy comes up so many times. And I want to look at the scripture and remind ourselves this is a joyful time. Jesus came to earth for you and I. It's joyful. This is not some kind of religious somber. This is like, oh my gosh, joyful. We should be full of joy that this is the time we get to celebrate again the birth of our Savior, the reason we can actually wake up in the morning and go, I'm free of my sin because of this baby that was born. And I want to have a look at the scriptures today. I actually want to read from the book of Luke, the Christmas story, right from the beginning. But before we even get there, what we find in the Gospels, the story of Jesus when he's around 30, he's about to, you know, start his ministry, he's about to get baptized by John the Baptist. And there's these powerful words about Jesus. It says this in John 1, 4 to 9. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. They asked John, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said to him, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John's out in the desert. He's baptizing people. He's saying, hey, prepare the way of the Lord. You know, this is a moment in history. This is going to change everything. And John replies in the words of the Isaiah, the prophet, he says, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. This is 30 years down the track. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. 30 years of John's life leads up to this moment because Jesus is about to arrive to get baptized. But I want to go back to the beginning because sometimes we forget the Christmas story doesn't start at the nativity scene. It starts where we find an old couple that are faithful, John's parents. And we're going to read about that. Luke writes this in Luke 1. It says this, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us. Just as they were handed down to us by those from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, this is Luke writing, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Apparently he was a Roman leader. So that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught. And it starts off, it says this, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. I just want to set this picture up. Zechariah, he's a Levite. So he had priestly duties. He was born into this, right? This is his life call. He had to be a priest. And here he is, he's on duty. It's his shift. He goes in, and they say there's about 1,000 priests around at the time. And of the 1,000 that are there, he gets drawn. His name gets drawn from a hat, a lot, so that he can go and burn the incense. Now understand this, this only happens once in a priest's life, ever. If his name gets drawn out, this is your one moment to be in the presence of God. This is it. And it often doesn't happen to the priest. You won't get this opportunity in your lifetime. Zechariah, he's on his way to work. He goes in, oh, we're on today. And his name gets drawn out to do this amazing thing. It's like winning the lotto for a priest. It's like, oh my gosh. Can you imagine the joy in that moment? Oh my gosh, I get to go into the presence of God. This is my time. And he would have seen priests that have gone in there and their lives impacted by the moment spent with the Holy Spirit in this space. He would have seen the overflow of the blessing that came from this moment. And this is his time to be blessed. It says, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all assembled worshipping were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Imagine that number two moment. You've won the lotto. Now you're in there and then poof, there's an angel. Like you're just like, whoa, what a day. Can't wait to tell my wife about this, right? I cannot wait to go home. Elizabeth, you got to hear about this. Today at work was not like a usual day at work. The angel says to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son and you are to call him John. The man we just read about who was in the desert. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Don't you love 30 years down the track? He does exactly what the prophecy says. He hasn't been born yet and Zechariah is old. Who feels old here? Okay, all right, a few of you. Donna says, I'm feeling old. She's about to have the child's on its way, all right, okay? Let's just use Donna and Joe for the story, okay? These oldies, you're joking, right? So in this moment, it says, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in her years. He said that smartly, okay? Didn't say my wife's old, along in years, okay? The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. How good's that? He goes, I don't believe it. God says, well, shut up. Man, you got to be careful when you don't believe what God says, hey? He's like, well, if you don't believe, I'm going to silence you for a moment. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people. How powerful. Imagine your husband gets home from work. He can't speak anymore. He's just writing down, we're going to have a baby. Yeah, like that's the miracle in itself. That's why they conceived. Anyway. I'm just going to drop my mic. See you later. But he is silent. He can't speak to his wife. He has to write down, saw an angel. We're going to have a child. Can't speak for a while. Like, this is like a really crazy miracle. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, it says this in the scripture, it's Mary's song. So you can imagine she's bust out into a musical, okay? "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, then returned home. So just before the birth of Elizabeth's child, she heads home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. This joy thing, it's like, imagine just being in your old age, Donna. This old age, and you're having a baby, okay? And for 9 months, you're just laughing every day, going, "This can't be. This can't be. Like, this can't be." And I just picture it. Like, I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, we're having a kid now. Really? I mean, what's going on?" And then they actually have the child. It's like, this is fulfilled, and everyone shares in the joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among you or your relatives who has that name." So this is pretty weird. Then they made signs to his father. He's learned sign language in 9 months. To find out what he would like the name of the child to be. He asked for a writing tablet, or maybe not. He just writes. Okay. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. And then it says Zechariah's song. So now Zechariah is busting out into song as well. He just can't believe it. I mean, I just love this. It's like, imagine you get your voice back in that moment. Like, whoa, here it is. Zechariah's song. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, As he said through the holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to his father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Man, we saw that prophecy come to pass. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come up to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And it says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. He lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. How much joy is in this family? Joy everywhere. Joy, joy, joy. People are celebrating in the joy. There's miracles happening. There's silence of the tongue's been silenced. Now he can speak again. Now he's not just speaking. He's worshiping. He's singing with joy. He's declaring prophecy of what's to come because he believes what God said to him in that temple through that angel. And all of a sudden it's happening. It's happening. He knows that this is the beginning. John's here. And in a moment, just down the track, a few months down the track, the Savior is going to be born and he can't deny that God is good and he's going to be good on his word. Joy. What a joy. As I said, as I was reading the Christmas story, I just was welling up within me. It's like, wow, imagine this Zachariah going through the mundane of life. Going to work. The Holy Spirit, God hasn't spoken to the people in 600 years, yet he's doing a job supposedly talking to a God that's silent. And in a moment, a pop of joy happens. You've won the lotto. It's time for you to burn the incense. And then another miracle, an angel appears before him and somehow God has included this man that doesn't seem to believe he's worthy of anything because he can't even have kids and in the eyes of the people he's cursed. And God chooses him. Wow. Can you imagine the joy? And then he has the miracle. Well, for him, he's probably like, I can't believe I can't speak now. And will God be good on his word? Will I get my voice back? Will I be like this forever? And then as soon as he declares the goodness of God and says his name is to be John, God says, thank you, obedience done. You can speak again. Don't just speak, start worshiping. To find your joy in the Christmas season, I just started looking at Zechariah's life and I was thinking, man, I wish I could be like Zechariah. One, maybe you haven't got a whole lot of joy, but you want a pop of joy in this Christmas season. You want God to intervene your circumstance and give you your joy back or joy for the first time. The first thing I find out or I think about when it comes to Zechariah, he was just faithful. In the mundane and in the times where he wasn't anything special, he just was faithful no matter what. And then God moved in his life and things shifted very quickly. Like really quickly, his whole life got flipped on its head. He was going to be a dad because he was faithful. And maybe you need to just keep being faithful in this Christmas season. You're like, I know that God's told me things. It's just not happening. Keep believing that God will come through. The scripture says it in verse 37 of that chapter, for no word from God will ever fail. Maybe that's your word for this Christmas. No word from God will ever fail. Hold on to it. Trust him. Find your joy again. Joy can happen in all sorts of ways. Open your eyes to the miracle of Jesus. When you see little moments of joy this season, maybe break into song. Your kids will hate it. Just break into song. Who loves to sing at home, hey? Yeah, I love it. And parents are like, shut up. Kids are like, woo. Go caroling with like a megaphone. I don't know. God is a God of joy. He's a God of joy. There's so many miracles in this story. There's also some challenge. Our disbelief can silence us. God can sort of go, hey, I need to do something. I'm going to have to silence you now. Stop talking. I'm trying to do a miracle here. Stop talking negatively. Stop your disbelief that it can't happen. Shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you. He wants to do a miracle in your life. He loves you, okay? And sometimes you're like, I'm just going to take it out of your mouth, okay? Because those words are speaking power and I've got bigger and greater things for you and your family, all right? Then there's the birth of John. And I sort of think about those 30 years where it led John to the moment we read about, where he made way for Jesus. Imagine those 30 years in your old age raising a baby going, can't believe we've got a child. Is that your grandchild? No, it's ours, right? What's your secret? Silence. Anyway, it's full of joy. Christmas is a time to be joyful. So go away in this Christmas season. When you see a moment of joy, don't just pass by it. Have a laugh. You know, kind of embrace it. Maybe you can bring joy to someone else. Buy someone a chocolate soft serve. Find the joy in that. But that is my heart. That we won't miss out on what God was doing back then. And then we just rush through the season and forget what God did. He sent his only son on a rescue mission for you and I so that we can experience true joy in our life, knowing that we are good with God. And I'm going to pray right now that this season you find joy. God, I thank you for the Christmas story. I thank you that you chose people in obscurity, people that just were going on in their daily lives and you arrived. God, I pray that in this season you will give joy back to those that have lost their joy. God, maybe you're challenging people to speak life and not death over their own lives. That they'll actually speak out the truth of your word, that you have good things for them. You have a purpose and a plan for them. That you've called them the head and not the tail. They'll actually start prophesying the goodness of who you are, God, instead of believing the lie and speaking out the lie. Don't do it. Allow joy to break through this Christmas. If you've never known the joy of loving Jesus or following Jesus and you're like, I want my life to start fresh today. There's a free gift this Christmas. It's called salvation. We're all broken. We're all sinners and we're all separated from God until we actually say, God, I'm sorry. I need you and I want to follow you. I need joy this Christmas, a supernatural joy that only you can provide. Nothing you can purchase can give you that joy. It's a supernatural thing. It's from God above. And if you want that joy today, I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand wherever you are. If you're like, God, I need you. I want to follow you. I need your joy. Across this room, if you want me to pray for you, I want to pray for you. There we go. Well, God, thank you so much for this church. May you impart your joy in us this year. Over the next 4 weeks, may we never stop smiling and seeing the goodness of who you are in our lives.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.